Read in a minute from the book of Luke, chapter 16, one verse today, just verse 15. We're looking at the places in the Bible where it uses the words, but God. There's about 30 of those. We're almost through with what we're going to look at. Today we want to talk to you about on the phrase in Luke 16, 15 that says, but God knows your heart. Luke 16, 15. Jesus said to them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Some of you have heart problems. You go to the doctor for checkups. Some of you are on heart medication. Some of you have had heart surgery. Well, that's not the kind of heart problems we're talking about today. But what we're talking about is our spiritual heart. The word heart is used about 830 times in the Bible. Sometimes it's talking about this muscle, this physical muscle that's there. But usually when the Bible uses the word heart, it means the seat of our feelings, of our emotions, of our desires, our affections, our impulses, our intellect. It's our innermost core. So when the Bible speaks about our heart, it speaks about our attitudes and the kind of person that we are. The Bible here, Jesus said that he talked about some people who tried to pretend to be something and they had an appearance to people of being one way, but he says, but God knows that's not how you are, because God knows what you are inside. God knows the real you. God knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. In 1 Samuel 16, when the Bible says that God was looking for a king for Israel to replace Saul, that his choice was not one that was very logical to the people. He chose, instead of a giant, a huge, powerful, strong, attractive man like Saul, he chose a young, small, inexperienced man named David, and God's explanation for that was that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. We are really concerned about how we appear outwardly to people, but what we really ought to be more concerned about is how we appear inwardly to God. Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How can we really know what's in someone's heart? We see what they do and we hear what they say, but we don't really know what's in their heart. He says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? But he says, but God knows it, because God searches the heart. Just like that there are problems with our heart physically that we can't see, but they put us under the x-ray machine, or they give us a dye test. They run these tests on us and it shows images and pictures so that the doctor can see things on the inside that we cannot see on the outside. He says when we look at our spiritual heart, that what appears on the outside is not the same always as God sees on the inside. Psalm 44:21 reminds us that God knows the secrets of our heart. He knows what is inside. As we look at this passage, there are several things I want you to notice today. First of all, God knows that we have sinful hearts. There's a question that is people have disputed about for years. What makes the person that we are? Is it nature or nurture? Is it genetics or is it our environment? Some people say, well, we're born good, but by the choices that we make or the surroundings we have, we become evil. The Bible says that we're born evil and that we have to make the right choices, and there has to be change in our lives for us to become good and for us to learn to do good. Jesus spoke to some people about, they were having a big dispute about whether they should eat clean, whether about the clean and unclean foods that people were eating. And Jesus said, well, it's not really what goes inside you. It's not what goes in your mouth that decides whether you're clean or unclean, but it's what comes out of your mouth that shows whether you're clean or unclean. It shows your real condition, because he said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and lies and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. He says it's not what goes into us that makes us defiled or sinful. It's what comes out of us, because at the heart of the matter we have a sinful heart. In Genesis 8:21 it says the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says that the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. Ephesians 4:18 says that our understanding is darkened because we have a blindness of heart. Romans 2:5 says that because of the hardness and impenitence, refusal to give in to God, the hardness and impenitence of our heart, that we treasure up for ourselves against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So regardless of what other people see or other people think, God knows that we have sinful hearts and we're born that way. We have a bend toward evil. None of you parents have ever tried, I don't think, have ever tried to teach your children to do wrong. But hopefully you spend a lot of time trying to teach them and discipline them to do right. And the reason you have to do that is because our spiritual heart is naturally sinful and it's evil, and we have to try to overcome that and correct that. God knows that we need new hearts. I remember back in 1967, it was on December the 3rd. I had to look that date up. I didn't remember it. But there was a doctor named Christian Bernard that made history. He performed the first human heart transplant. He took a human heart of someone who had just passed away, and he put that heart into a body of a man named Louis Washkansky. The transplant was successful. He didn't survive very long. He died 18 days later of pneumonia, but his heart was still beating strong when he died. There have been a lot of heart transplants done since that time. There's about 2,300 physical heart transplants done in the United States every year on the average now. But Dr. Bernard was the first one that made a physical heart transplant. But God has been putting new hearts in people spiritually for a long, long time. We have a story in Acts chapter 2 on an event we call the Day of Pentecost, an annual celebration that Jews had. And on this particular one, this was the first one after Jesus had been crucified and gone away into heaven. He told his disciples to wait together and pray and wait for a promise to come. And then they were meeting in the upper room praying and having this celebration. And the Holy Spirit moved on them greatly. Peter got up and preached. He told these people that they had been looking for the Son of God, their Savior, to come. And he said, and he did come. But when he came, you rejected him and you took him and you crucified him. And the Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They got convicted of their sin and their guilt before God. And they cried out and said, what are we going to do about this? We're guilty before God. We killed His Son. What are we going to do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll have forgiveness of your sins. God convicted their hearts. The Bible tells us that when Saul first became king of Israel, he wasn't up for the task, but he was submissive to God, and he was willing to serve, and it says that God gave him a new heart. He tells us in Ezekiel 36, this is a promise that God offers to us. He says, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll take away the old stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a new heart out of flesh. He says, by nature we have a sinful, stony, hard heart. But he said, I want to take that old stony, hard heart away, and I want to give you a soft heart, a new heart, a spiritual heart, so that you can be different and you can live different. The Bible says that the forgiveness of our sins and our new life that comes from God comes through belief in our heart. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So even though we're born with an evil heart, a sinful heart, God sees that we need a new heart, and He's willing to give that to us. He's willing to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that happens when we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and He died on the cross and rose again, and that He wants to give us eternal life. God knows that we need new hearts, but He is certainly willing to do that. God knows when we have healthy hearts. Some of you have checkups. I hope you have checkups every year. Some of you have, specifically, you've had some heart problems in the past, and you go back and get those things checked out and see how they're doing, and that's good. But, and the doctor, you know, you may feel like everything's okay, but sometimes you don't know till you get the examination. You have the test done that you've got problems in your heart. Well, God wants to be looking, and He is constantly looking at our spiritual hearts to see what's there. What kind of heart does God want us to have? He wants us to have a prepared heart. It tells us that years ago that the people of Israel had been through a really rough time, and that they invited a man named Ezra to come preach for them. And it says that that Ezra led the people in a great revival. And it gives us the reason that he did that. It says in Ezra 7:10 that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach it to Israel. God wants us to have a prepared heart. Now, I know when you come to church, you come prepared, don't you? You get up and you clean yourself, and you fix yourself up, and you want to make yourself clean and presentable. You put some preparation into that. But when you come to church, do you have a prepared heart? Have you prayed and asked God, help my Sunday school teacher today? Have you prayed and asked God, help the musicians today, help my pastor today as he gives us a word, help me to be open to receive your word? God wants us to have a heart that's prepared to receive what He has for us. Prepared hearts. He wants us to have seeking hearts. By nature, we resist God and run away from Him. But deep inside, we want to know Him and we want to be close to Him. And we can do that if we seek Him. Deuteronomy 4:29, He says that you'll find God if you seek Him with all your heart. Jeremiah said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, with your whole heart. You know what it means when somebody says, well, they gave a half-hearted effort. It means they didn't really get into it. They weren't that serious about it. They just kind of went through the motions. Well, God doesn't want us to be half-hearted about getting to know Him and about hearing from Him and about living for Him. He wants us to seek Him with our whole heart, to be serious about it and not do it halfway. The Bible wants us to have loving hearts. We have started on Sunday night studying about the Ten Commandments. We're on number two tonight. And once in the New Testament times, there were some religious leaders came to Jesus trying to trap Him, and they asked Him a question. What's the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment? And He thought, well, whichever one He says, then we're going to say, oh, Jesus said these other commandments are not important. They don't matter. But Jesus fooled them, didn't He? Because when He gave His answer, He didn't say the greatest commandment was thou shalt not steal. Or He didn't say the greatest commandment was thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what He said here is the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. He said the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. So God wants us to have loving hearts. Hearts that are not selfish and self-centered, but hearts that love God and love each other. And that is really, in 1 John, he says that is really the test of whether we're believers or not, is do we love God? Do we love our neighbor? That's how we prove that we have new hearts, because our new hearts are supposed to be loving hearts. God wants us to have serving hearts. He told Israel, He said, here's what I want you to do. Love God and walk in His ways. Keep His commandments. Cleave to Him and serve Him with all your hearts. Serve Him with all your hearts. He wants us to have trusting hearts. We all go through some times, sometimes, when it doesn't look like God's with us, don't we? and it looks like, it seems like we're crying out to God and He's not hearing us, that He's forgotten about us. And that's when we need to continue in our faith and hold strong. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths." Don't just trust in Him halfway. Trust in Him with all your heart. Don't give up on your trust and on your faith. God wants us to have rejoicing hearts. Psalm 33:21 says, "Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we've trusted in His holy name." Christians, God's people, should be rejoicing people. Not because we don't ever have anything bad happen to us, but because we know God's in control. And we know He loves us, and we know He's got great plans for us. God wants our hearts to be full of rejoicing, not grumbling and complaining and poor old me, everything's awful. Yeah, things are rough, but God's still in control. And we ought to rejoice about that. He wants us to have committed hearts. The Bible talks about, uses an expression, singleness of heart. It says that the early church was characterized by this, that after those people got pricked in their hearts, they said, "What are we going to do?" And they were told, "Repent and then be baptized." It says that on that day, 3,000 souls were saved, and then they were baptized and added to the church. And it says, "And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Singleness of heart means a committed heart, a focused heart. Sometimes our hearts get divided in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different directions. But singleness of heart means we have a singleness of purpose, a singleness of focus, that in life we have a lot of responsibilities. But our primary responsibility and our primary focus should be on our relationship with God. What does He want from me? And if we can keep that focus, then these other things will fall into line. Committed hearts. God wants us to have pure hearts. In Psalm 24, there's a question asked, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." How do you get a pure heart? You get a pure heart from doing like we explained earlier. When you believe and trust in Christ in your heart, and He gives you that new heart. And then as a believer, as things creep into our lives and we go astray and do things we shouldn't do, that we confess those things to God and turn away from them. David is described as a man of single-heartedness. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And yet there were times in his life when he failed, when he did some terrible things. And he had to cry out to God in Psalm 51 and say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Our hearts can get dirty and defiled and unclean. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from unrighteousness, and to give us clean hearts once again, pure hearts. The Bible says that God wants us to have burning hearts. Now, we talk about heartburn, that's a bad thing, isn't it? It's not a good thing to have heartburn physically, but it is a good thing to have heartburn spiritually. The Bible tells us in Luke 24, after Jesus had risen again, there were two disciples going away from Jerusalem, going back home to a place called Emmaus. And while they were talking about what had happened, and they were so discouraged because Jesus, the one they had trusted in, that He had died, and they didn't know what to make of it. And they were so confused and disappointed, and Jesus came. He had risen from the grave. He came and started walking alongside of Him. They didn't recognize Him. And He started to talk to them about what had happened, and He quoted Scripture to them, and He reminded them some of the things that were prophesied in the Old Testament, and some of the things that Jesus had told the disciples, how that He would come, and He would be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and He'd be crucified, but He would rise again the third day. And then it says they sat down and ate. And then their eyes were opened and they saw who He was. And He continued there a while and explained to them again the Old Testament prophecies about Him and show how He had fulfilled them. And then He left them. And the scripture then says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way, and as he opened to us the scriptures? As we gather to worship and we sing the songs and we read his words, as you sit down in your around your table at home to do your Bible study through the day, or as you prepare your Sunday school lesson, opening God's word ought to make your hearts burn with excitement because of God has revealed himself to us and what it says about God's plans for the future. God, in God's way of thinking, in our spiritual hearts, heartburn is a very good thing because God wants us to have burning hearts. So God knows when we have healthy hearts. But you know, sometimes we don't always have healthy hearts because God knows sometimes that we have heart problems. And there's different kinds of problems that come up with our physical hearts. And there are different kinds of problems that can happen with our spiritual hearts as well. One of the spiritual heart problems that we have is turned hearts. We accept Christ as our Savior and we're excited about Him. We say, well, we're on fire for Him. We're so glad that our sin's forgiven and we get to walk with God. But then things can creep into our lives and distract us that can turn our hearts away from God. It happened with a man named Solomon. Solomon was David's son. Solomon was taught in the ways of God, and when he was very young, he gave his heart and devoted his life to the Lord. And God used him to do some great things. But the Bible tells us it came to pass when Solomon was old. He came to become the king of Israel. He became one of the wealthiest men who's ever lived. He became a very powerful man. And it opened to him some opportunities to do some evil things. And against God's command and against what was right and wrong, he married 300 wives. And he had 700 concubines or girlfriends or mistresses on the side. So he had 1,000 different women that were there waiting for him to call and say, come spend the night with me. And he took advantage of that. But these women were ungodly women, to say the least. And the Bible says that it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart away after other gods so that his heart was not right before his God. There are different, in Solomon's case, there were several things that turned his heart away. The power and the riches and the fame and the booze and the women. Today, those things can turn our hearts away too. Too often I watch as young people grow up in our church and they are so tender and excited and they give their hearts to Christ and we baptize them and they go through our WANA program, our youth program, and then we have to watch as their hearts get turned away by the things of the world. And we just pray that God brings them back, that they'll get tired of that after a while and they'll turn their hearts back. But sometimes we have turned hearts. Sometimes we can have backslidden hearts. Backslide means that you're once close to God, but things get in the way and you slip away from your relationship with Him. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, because the Bible tells us that can't happen. But there's things that get in our lives, that get cluttered in our lives, that turn us back from our commitment to God. In Proverbs 14:14, he says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. If we have a good heart, a committed heart, then our focus is on God. When we get filled with selfishness and self-centeredness and are thinking about what we want to do, then we slide back from our relationship with God, and that's not a good thing. The Bible cautions us that sometimes we can get hardened hearts. Physically, there's things that happen with our hearts. We have a heart attack or have a problem or have surgery, and there's a callus or scar tissue can develop over that spot. And where that heart muscle used to be soft and tender and it would stretch and it would expand and contract, it gets hard and it won't do that anymore. It doesn't work right. Our spiritual hearts can get hard sometimes. As we get disappointed, we get mistreated, things happen that we don't understand. We make bad choices and bring hardship on ourselves. Sometimes our spiritual hearts can get hard. But he says, harden not your heart as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. If God is going to work in our lives, we need to keep our hearts tender and soft and pliable so that when He speaks, we don't rise up and say, I don't want to do that, I'm not going to do that, but that we yield to Him in obedience and submission. Sometimes people can have double hearts. Don't guess I've ever heard of people having two hearts in the same body, but that's an expression the Bible uses. If we have a double heart, I picture, when I read that expression, I always picture the stunt rider in the circus. He's standing up riding two horses at the same time. He's got 1 foot on one horse and 1 foot on the other. And I'm always thinking, what's going to happen when one horse goes that way and one horse goes the other? He's got a problem, doesn't he? As long as those two horses are side by side, he's okay. But if they start to divide, he's got to commit to one horse or the other. Sometimes our lives are like that. We've got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot with the Lord. And the world and the Lord are not going to run side by side very long. And we are not, and if we have double hearts, we're not committed one way or the other. We could go one way or the other. And destruction, devastation is sure to happen. Sometimes we have broken hearts. Everybody gets their heart broken sometimes, don't we? Sometimes it's other people in the church that break our hearts. Sometimes it's family members that break our hearts. Sometimes it's some hardship in life that breaks our hearts. But if you've got a broken heart, we've got good news. Because Jesus said, my Father sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He said, the Bible says He heals the broken in heart. And He binds up their wounds. See, nobody else knows how hurt you are at times. Nobody knows the pain you're going through at times. But He does. Because He doesn't just look on the outward appearance. He sees the heart. He knows what's there and He knows how you feel. And He is able and willing to mend broken hearts. Sometimes we have troubled hearts. There are different things that trouble our hearts. Jesus had told His disciples, after being with them every day for 3 years straight and them committing themselves to Him and giving up so much for Him, He told them, I'm going to get crucified. I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to be with you anymore. And they didn't like to hear that. Just like if somebody came to us and told us, the doctor came to us and told us the person that we love is not going to have long to be with us. That would trouble us very much, wouldn't it? But Jesus said to His disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. A lot of things that trouble us. But the cure for troubled heart is knowing that it's not going to stay this way because Jesus is coming back for us one day. And if your heart is with Him, that's going to be the greatest day that has ever happened. Sometimes we have failing hearts. People have heart failure. That is one of the leading causes of death, is physical heart failure. Sometimes our spiritual heart fails too. We read this verse to you and talked to you about it a few weeks ago. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When other people disappoint you and you just lose heart, when you mess up and you lose heart, don't give up. Because the psalmist said, my heart fails me, my flesh fails me, but God is the strength of my heart. So sometimes we have these problems with our hearts. At the beginning, we didn't read this, but that at the beginning of Luke chapter 16, Jesus gave a parable. There was a parable of a servant, and his master thought that he was not doing his job very well, and the master suspected that the servant was embezzling funds or misusing supplies, and so he kind of called him on the carpet for it, wanted him to give account for it. Apparently, there was a shortage of money, so the guy went out, and he went around to all the people that owed his master money, and he said, how much do you owe? $300. Well, here, give me $150. And he wrote on his receipt, paid in full. And he went to another and said, how much you owe? He said, 1,000. He said, give me 500. And he did, and he wrote on it, I'm not giving the exact numbers, but something like that. And he gave him a receipt, said, paid in full. And so he had embezzled or misused the master's funds. He got called to give account for it. So he falsified the records and collected half what the master owed. And he got the money together and took it to his master and said, here it is. Here's all the money you were questioning about. Everything's okay. And in the story, that seemed to satisfy the master. But in reality, God doesn't just look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. See, the part of the moral of that story is you can fool other people. And you can make them think that you're honest and dependable and reliable. But you can't fool God. Because He knows your heart. And He knows what you do and why you do it. And it doesn't do any good to try to falsify the records with God because He knows the truth. At the end of Luke 16, after the passage that we read here in verse 15, there's a story about a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. This rich man lived in a fancy house. He had good food every day. He dressed in fine clothing. And everybody must have thought, this man surely must be a godly man because God blesses him so much. He even gives handouts to that poor beggar there at his gate. There was a poor man named Lazarus. He didn't have a place to stay. He barely had any rags to wear. He had to sit at this guy's gate and look for him to throw out his garbage so he could find something to eat. He was sick. He had sores all over his body. And people looked at that man and they said, that must be a terrible, wicked man because he lives such a miserable life. Surely God is punishing him for something terrible he has done. That's the way it appeared to men. The rich guy appeared to be the godly man, the poor man appeared to be the sinner. But the Bible says, but the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And Lazarus died, and he woke up in paradise. And the moral of that story, among other things, is you can't fool God. We may be successful in fooling people sometimes, making them think we're somebody that we're not. You may get misjudged by other people sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you try to do something, you do it out of the right heart, with the right motive, you do your best, and it blows up in your face, and people think, you're just a big screw-up. You can't do anything right. You never meant to make this work, and they misjudge us. But God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Wasn't Abraham Lincoln that said, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I will add something to that, but you can't fool God any of the time. Because God sees the heart. Today, would you look at these scriptures we shared with you today and recognize that we have heart problems. Our problem is that we're born with a sinful heart that naturally desires to sin. But God wants to prick us in our hearts. He uses the Holy Spirit to help us understand that I'm a sinner in the eyes of God who needs forgiveness. God wants to give us a new heart. And that new heart and that new life, that new being comes about when we trust in Christ in our hearts. God wants us to seek Him with our whole heart. He wants us to hide God's Word in our heart. That's what the psalmist said, I'll hide God's Word in my heart so that I won't sin against Him. If you're a child of God, we should want to desire to please God, and so that when He looks in our heart, what He sees is good and right and whole. And one of the ways we do that is by studying this Word and committing our hearts to it. God wants us to trust the Lord in our heart. So I want to ask you today, as our musicians come on forward, we're going to sing, is your heart right with God? Do you need a change of heart? We can't give ourselves a heart transplant, but God can. Through faith in Christ, through our acceptance of His gift of eternal life through His Son, we can have a new heart. A new heart that can perform righteousness. A new heart that can live the way God wants us to live.